1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." If correctly read, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Before we begin to endeavor to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we need Thee every hour. We know that we cannot draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We thank You, Lord, for sparing our lives and the lives of our family through another night and blessing us to be able to come together to worship God in Thy house this day. We thank You, Lord, for every person that's here, every member and every friend of the body. Thank You, Lord, for Hunter being here and us being able to rejoice in his birth. We thank You, Lord, that we have the privilege to see the power of God manifest in the birth of children and in the springtime, the budding forth of the flowers and the trees. We can see the glory of God and the handiwork of God all around us. And Lord, even though we rejoice in the beauty of nature, we rejoice even more in the beauty of seeing Christ in Thy children. We thank You, Lord, for the Spirit of God that radiates from many who are here this day. We thank You for the beauty that's seen in their faces as we can see Christ in them. And we pray that Thou would help us all to live in such a way that wherever we go, that we would always recognize and remember that we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we represent Thee and we represent Thy church wherever we go. So help us to live lives that would honor and glorify Thee every day. We thank You, Lord, for blessing some who have been sick to be doing better. We thank You for blessing those who have lost loved ones to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We thank You, Lord, again for those that Thou hast added to the church. We thank You for Brother Bud and Sister Ruth. Thank You for their lives. Thank You for the Spirit of God that radiates from their lives. Thank You for Sister Arlene, and thank You for adding her to the body. We pray again that You would bless the service tonight. Bless the baptismal service. Pray that You would fill us all with the Spirit of God and the singing of songs and prayers and the study of Thy Word and then in the baptismal service to follow. Again, now we pray that You would help us all as we hear the Word of God this day. May it be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Help us to honor and glorify Thee. Help us to hold on to the Word of God. We pray in the name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church of God at Corinth, in the first verse, I want you to notice, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you," watch the wording here, he says, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." He's talking about the gospel. He had been preaching the gospel. Sometimes we read in the Word of God about the gospel in a general way. Other times when we read the Word of God, we read about the gospel of God. The word gospel means good news. So we read about the good news, and all of God's Word is good news. But then we read about the gospel of God, which is good news about God in general. And then we read about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which tells us about Jesus Christ. Good news that particularly relates to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we read, the Scripture talks about the gospel of the kingdom. That is, the good news about the kingdom of heaven that God's people have while they live here in this world, that when we walk in obedience to God, that we enter into the kingdom of heaven while we live here. So there's the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, but they all compose the gospel, the body of truth, the Word of God in its entirety. And he says here, I preached unto you, I declare unto you the gospel. And I want us to think about primarily the gospel that Paul was talking about here is described in the third and fourth verses. Look in your Bibles again at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. And this is the primary gospel that he's talking about as he writes to the church of God at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he says, For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the first part of the gospel he's talking about. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4 says, And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The main thought that I want us to think about this morning, there are two thoughts, in verse 1 and verse 3 and 1 and verse 4. He's talked about the gospel, and the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. That's the first part of the gospel I want us to think about. The first good news that I want us to think about is that Christ died for our sins. And then the second part of the gospel that he's talking about that we need to remember, he says, not only did Christ die for our sins, verse 4 says that he rose again the third day. So Christ died for our sins, and then Christ rose again. You know, without the resurrection of Christ, the death of Christ doesn't mean anything. But we talk about the gospel in its entirety that we're looking at this morning is that Christ died for our sins, and that he rose again the third day. If I don't know that I'm a sinner, I have no real gratitude for Christ dying for my sins. And I believe that there are many people today that do not recognize and realize that they are sinners. I talk with people sometimes. There are denominations who believe that once you walk down the aisle and join the church, they believe that you don't sin anymore after that. They believe that when you are baptized, that your sins are washed away in water baptism, and that then, from then that point on, that if you're a child of God, then you don't sin anymore. Now, brethren, that's contrary to the teaching of God's holy word. It's contrary in two ways. First of all, it's contrary to the teaching of God's word in that water baptism does not wash away our sins. Water baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Water baptism is just the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, God has commanded us to be baptized, but water baptism is not a prerequisite or a condition of eternal salvation. Water baptism is not what gets us into eternal heaven. That's not what saves us eternally. But there is a salvation in water baptism. Now, Christ died, that's the reason that our sins are paid for, not water baptism. Christ died for our sins. I want you to just think about that a minute. First of all, I want us to think about that we are sinners. We, you and I, every one of us in this building, we are all sinners. The Word of God says that by death, sin entered into the world, and death upon all men, for all have sinned. And then the Scripture says in Romans 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you may think this morning that you're not a sinner. I've talked with people recently that they did not believe that they were sinners. And so I had to confront them with the fact that they are sinners. I've talked to them and tried to explain to them what God's Word says about being a sinner. And I asked some individuals when they think that they don't sin, I said, do you ever have evil thoughts in your mind? And at first sometimes they'll say no because they know that they don't believe that they're sinners. So they think, well, no, I don't even have evil thoughts. Did you know that evil thoughts is a sin? The Bible says that the very thought of foolishness is sin. And so we sin, sometimes we think of sin and we think of adultery or we think of drunkenness or we think of sins that cause us to have to be put away from the church. And there are sins like that. But there are other sins mentioned in God's Word. The very thoughts, evil thoughts, are sin. And you know we all have evil thoughts. The Bible also says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And brethren, there are days in my life that I know to do good, and the Spirit of God sometimes will move me and motivate me to do good, but sometimes I don't do what the Spirit of God is leading me to do. I don't do what I know to do good. And the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, that is sins of omission, leaving undone the things God has told me to do, they're sin, just like sins of commission. And when I fail to do what God is telling me to do, I am still, what am I still doing? I'm still sinning. Sins of omission as well as sins of commission. And so we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now what can you do about your sin? What can you do to put away your sin? What can you do to pay for your sin? You know, one of the songs that we sang this morning was, you remember what it was? Jesus paid it all. You know, Jesus didn't pay 90% or 99% of my sin debt, and then I have something to do to finish it up. Jesus paid it all. Why did Jesus come into the world? The angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus accomplished what he came to do. He didn't try to save. He didn't offer to save. He didn't save if you'll let him. There are so many people that when they get up and they hear the preacher preach, the preacher says, I want you to let Jesus come into your heart. You don't find that in God's holy word. Whenever the word of God talks about Jesus, it talks about a sovereign Jesus. He is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Jesus is sovereign. And Jesus saved his people from their sins. When he hung upon the cross of Calvary and he said, it is finished, he had accomplished what he came to do. He had saved his people from their sins. He had redeemed them. We're redeemed, not with silver and gold, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you a sinner? Are you really a sinner? Yes, you're a sinner. You know the Apostle Paul, now he was a good man, wasn't he? The Apostle Paul? I'm not talking about Saul of Tarsus. Now I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Paul was a good man. As far as men being good, if there was a good man, Paul was a good man. Paul was a man that loved God, feared God, served God, obeyed God. He was a man that tried to the best of his ability. He tried to honor God and glorify God, and he tried not to sin. But you know what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the young preacher Timothy about him, about himself? He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief. Is that what he says? No. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and all of y'all are sinners. No, that's not what he said. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul felt he was the chief of sinners. Do you know why Paul felt that he was the chief of sinners? Because Paul was so close to God, that and he knew and understand the closer you get to God, the more you're going to know you're a sinner. You know these people that don't think they're sinners, they're not very close to God. Contrast, that's what it's all about. You begin to see that you're a sinner when you see how holy and righteous and perfect God is. I might not think I'm a sinner if I compare myself to some of you. I may in my twisted carnal thinking, I may say, you know, I'm a lot better than brother so-and-so, or I'm better than sister so-and-so, so maybe I can think I'm not a sinner. But that's a lie. In fact, that's contrary to God's Word. The Bible says we're not to measure ourselves by ourselves or compare ourselves among ourselves. The Word of God teaches that when you want to look at yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror of God's holy Word. And when you look at yourself in the mirror in the light of God's Word, you know what you're going to always see? Every day you're going to see, I am a sinner. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more you're going to know, I am a sinner. And the more you're going to realize you need the grace of God, not just that you needed the grace of God 2,000 years ago at Calvary. I need the grace of God every day in my life because I am a sinner. And that's my hope. You know what my hope is in? My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not my righteousness, the blood of Jesus Christ. And what's the gospel? What's Paul saying here to the church at Corinth? He says, I want to declare unto you the gospel. What's the first part of the gospel? That Christ Jesus, he says, that Christ died for our sins. He died for whose sins? He died for our sins. Brethren, if Jesus died for the sins of everybody in this whole world, everybody in this whole world is going to be in eternal heaven. Did you know that? If Jesus, when he came into this world, if he paid for sins as God's Word says that he did, and he died for everybody in this world, everybody in this world is going to be in eternal heaven. But that's contrary to the teaching of God's Word. The Word of God talks about how that even though by the first Adam that every human being in this world became a sinner, it's by the second Adam that there are many who were made righteous, and those many have reference to the people that God chose before the foundation of the world. Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And that's who Jesus died for. And he saved his people from their sins. It's an accomplished fact. It's a work that's finished. And that's good news. What's the word gospel mean? The word gospel means good news. And what does Paul say here is the gospel he's writing to the church at Corinth? He says the gospel, the good news, is that Christ died for our sins. Not for his own sins. He never sinned. Not once. You know, we're sinners by nature. You know, that little hunter, sweet as can be, isn't he, Brother Jake? 1 week old or 2 weeks old, less than 2 weeks old, isn't he? 1 week old. All right, he's 1 week old. Is he a sinner? Amen, Brother Jake. Now, I tell you, it took a lot, Brother Jake, to nod. He's a sinner. That daddy loves his baby as much as any daddy's loved his baby. But he knows the truth of God's Word. The Word of God says that we're conceived in sin. The Word of God teaches that in the very conception, we're created. We're formed in sin. We're sinners by nature as well as being sinners by practice. Let that little baby grow a while, and you'll see he's a sinner. Even as young babies, they scream and pitch a fit, and they yell, and you'll see the Adamic nature in those children. That's part of the nature of the child. He's a sinner by nature, but he's also a sinner by practice. And if that child or any child, if they ever be in eternal heaven, it's not because they didn't sin or because they didn't reach an age of accountability. It's because the blood of Jesus Christ has saved them from their sins. Christ, that's the good news. Christ died for our sins. Not for his own, but he died for our sins. Look at 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul continues to emphasize that Christ died for our sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what are the two biggest problems that humans have? What are the two biggest problems? What's the first one we're talking about? Sin, isn't it? Sin. Okay, now we're talking about different kinds of sin, but sin, that's a problem we have. Sin is a problem we have. I still have a problem with sin. But as far as my eternal salvation is concerned, I don't have a problem as far as sin is concerned because Jesus paid it all. Sin is a problem. You know who the answer is to the problem of sin? Who's the answer for the problem of sin? Who's the only one that's going to put away sin? Who's the only one who has died to save us from our sins? You know how many people I've saved from their sins? Now, can I convert my brothers and sisters in Christ from the error of their way? Yes, but that's not saving them from eternal hell. Jesus is the only one that saves anybody from eternal hell to the eternal heaven. Christ Christ Jesus is the answer to sin by Him dying on the cross of Calvary. What's the second problem men have that they can't do anything about? Besides sin, what is it? Death. Death. Death's a problem, you know it? Let's see you face death. Let's see you come up with enough money that you don't have to die. Let's see you come up with a doctor that's good enough to keep you from dying. You know why I'm alive today? It's not because of a defibrillator in my body. It's not because of a pacemaker. It's not because of anything medical science has done. You know why I'm alive? It's because Jesus Christ is keeping me alive. And I'm no different than you are, by the way. Somebody say, well, boy, you just almost died. Yeah, well, you did too. And if it hadn't been for Jesus, you'd be dead today. I'm talking about physical death. Jesus is the answer not only for sin, Jesus is the answer for death. And if I live long enough and Jesus doesn't come back to the world before then, I'm going to die a physical death. I'm going to die. But did you know I've got an answer for that death? And the answer for death is the same answer that's the answer for sin. Jesus is the answer for sin, and Jesus is the answer for death. Look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Word of God says, for He, we're talking about Jesus being the answer for sin. This is the gospel. Verse 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for He hath made Him, that is God the Father, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, He hath made Him to be sin for us. You see? Christ died for who? For us. If you don't understand who that us is, you please see me after church because we need to study some more. Christ died for us. Christ was made sin for us. Who knew no sin? Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. That we, those that He died for, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Do you know why I'm righteous before God? It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, He became sin for us. That we, through His righteousness, the Scripture says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You're righteous before God today because Jesus became sin for you. Now, brethren, sin to me and you doesn't mean the same that sin does mean for God. Are there some words that just make you sick and nauseated? Are there some words that just really disturb you greatly? Brethren, that's the way sin is to God. Sin is an abomination in the sight of God. All sin is an abomination in the sight of God. And if it were not for Jesus Christ being made sin for you and removing your sins from you as far as the east is from the west, you would have no hope of being in eternal heaven. Is that good news that Christ became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God through Him? Isaiah says it this way. Back up in your Bibles to Isaiah 53. And let me ask you this. You know, we know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and we know that we, since Jesus Christ, we know that we're saved by grace. We all know that, don't we? We all know that since Jesus Christ died on the cross, that we're saved from our sins because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What about those sinners before Jesus? What about them? How did they get saved? Now, that's amazing. You start asking people how they got saved. You start asking some people about that. Just ask some of them. I'm amazed when you ask people a few questions about God's Word. And many people will say, well, those people before Christ, they were saved by making those offerings of blood of bulls and goats and calves and all of that. Or they were made righteous if they kept the Ten Commandments. Or they were made righteous. They got to heaven if their good works outweighed their bad works. No, that's not true. First of all, nobody's good works have ever outweighed their bad works. Secondly, our works, our eternal salvation is not of works, not by our works, and not according to our works. That's what God's Word says. It's not our works that gets us into eternal heaven. It's the work of God, 100%. How was Isaiah saved? How was Moses saved? How was Adam saved? They were all saved just like you and I are saved. They were saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here's what Isaiah was blessed to see. About 700 years before Jesus was ever born, here's what Isaiah wrote about. And he's writing about Jesus Christ now. And you can go to the New Testament and read about this when Philip was preaching to the eunuch. But listen in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Here's what Isaiah said. How was Isaiah saved? Isaiah was saved. What put away Isaiah's sins? The same thing that put away my sins and your sins. Who died for Isaiah's sins? Jesus died for Isaiah's sins. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He died for the sins of all of His people, all the way back to Adam, and all the way forward as long as this world continues. Jesus paid for the sins of all of His people. Isaiah 53, here's what Isaiah saw. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He's talking about Jesus. Go back and read the first part of this chapter. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, but He, talking about Jesus, He, and you might say, well, how do you know that's Jesus? Because you go to Acts chapter 8, where Philip's preaching to the eunuch, you'll find these exact words, and here's what the Scripture says, that Philip began at this Scripture and preached Jesus unto him. That's what he preached about. Here's what the Word of God says now in Isaiah 53, verse 5, but He, that is Jesus, was wounded for... I want you to watch the word our. Personal pronoun, our. That's good, Sister Peoples. That dear saint knows the Word of God. You know it? She can't walk, can't dress herself, can't feed herself very well. But I'll tell you, she knows the Word of God. She loves the Lord. She's a redeemed child of God that rejoices in the gospel of Jesus Christ. She loves to hear the gospel. Not some polluted, diluted, perverted gospel, but the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Verse 6 says, all we like... Everybody? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Do you know why you're saved? You're saved because God laid our iniquities on Jesus Christ. And Jesus, died for our sins. What's the gospel Paul's writing to the church at Corinth about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. That's good news. Best news I can give you. There's another good news, part of that good news, and that is that He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. Do you know your body's going to be raised from the dust of this earth? Your body. It's a marvelous thing. Your body. You've been redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. And though at the very moment you die, your spirit returns to God, did you know there's more that's going to God than just your spirit? Your body has been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And one day, Jesus is coming back to this earth. Because He rose again. And I'll tell you, go home and read all of 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll find that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you have no hope. You might as well quit church. If you ever stop believing that Jesus died and rose again, get out of this building. Because you're wasting your time if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And these people who deny... There are people who deny that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. They're teaching heresy. They don't know the Jesus of this Bible. And people who believe that Jesus didn't really save us from our sins, they're teaching heresy. Jesus did save us from our sins. That's good news. And He rose again. His body came out of that tomb. Do you believe in the literal resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ? I do too. And that's good news. Another part of that good news is when my body and your body and my body is going to come forth out of the grave, and when it comes forth, you know what's going to happen to the body? The Bible says this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. I'm going to be changed. Whoo! I got chill bumps all over me. Brother Bud sometimes does that when we're studying. He'll say, whoo! And he just shivers all over when we're studying God's Word. Listen, brethren, I'm going to be changed. When Jesus and Jesus is coming back to this world. Well, by the way, He's already here. P.S. He's here. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now. He's ruling and reigning in His kingdom today. He is rewarding His people according to their works today. But one day, Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, He's going to come back. And I want to read you from God's Word what's going to happen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We'll close right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's what's going to happen one day. Because Jesus rose from the grave, here's what's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Don't you worry about anybody that's dead. Don't you worry about anybody that's fixing to die. Don't worry about your death. Just quit worrying about death. But you know why? Because Jesus rose again. Because Jesus died for our sins and He rose again. Death's not anything to be afraid of. You ought to be able to face death and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You ought to be able to trample Satan under your feet because you believe in what Jesus has done for you. He's died for your sins, and He rose again. You know, how long did Job live before Jesus? You know what he said? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he also knew he was going to come back and take him home. He said, though after these skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Now that was confidence before Jesus ever died. You think you got faith? That fellow had a lot more faith than most of us do. He knew Jesus was coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Word of God says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Oh, brethren, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems we have among God's people today, one of the biggest problems we have in churches today, is God's people are ignorant of God's Word. If you're afraid of death, it's because you're ignorant. You're ignorant. Brethren, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are, what's the next word there? Asleep. You know, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you start reading through the Word of God, you hardly ever find where they talked about anybody being dead anymore. You know what they called them from then on? They kept saying, oh, they're asleep. Stoned Stephen to death, oh, he just fell asleep. What an amazing thing. All through the Scripture, oh, they're just asleep. I tell you, you say that about me when I'm gone here. You say, he's just asleep. He's going to wake up one day. You know who's going to wake me up? Jesus. The one who died for me and rose again. He's going to come back and wake up his family. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, as others which have no hope. There's no reason for you to be crying over folks like they're never going to be alive again or like they're gone forever. You know, I heard somebody preacher recently saying about, it was at a funeral, and he said, you know, some of you say this, brothers, that we've lost our brother. Don't say that anymore. We haven't lost our brother. I know where he is. He's not lost. He's with the Lord. He's not dead, as we usually think of the word dead. He's asleep. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe, this is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15, 14. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died, who did he die for? Over there, 1 Corinthians 15. He died for what? Our sins, yes. If we believe that Jesus died and, what's the second part of that gospel? And rose again. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. How is He going to bring them with Him? Well, because the spirit that's died, the body that died, what happened to the spirit when the body died? It went to be with Jesus, didn't it? You know, when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring my daddy and my son and all the other saints that have already died. See? He's coming back. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's that old body that's gone back. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know how long I'm going to be in heaven? You know how long you're going to be in heaven? Eternal heaven?
Forevermore.
Oh, brethren, we got a gospel to tell folks about. God's people need to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The specific gospel that's under consideration in 1 Corinthians 15 is that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. May God bless us to share that truth with other of God's children is my prayer for Christ's sake.